Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. And today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes. Wow, you're doing a really fancy welcoming now. I like it. Your personality is coming out.
Well,
that's awesome. You sound happy and glad.
Yeah. Now, our guest today, and I hope I pronounced your last name correctly, is Ashley Gadarowski. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yeah, it's Ashley Gadarowski, yeah. Thanks for
having
me. Hey, Ashley. Wow, welcome to the show. You know, I was working on the title, and I thought, I really wanted to change it to Sex Ed Teacher, but I thought, well, maybe that would offend you, but it was catchy. You know, it was something that everybody dreaded once in their life, to have to go sit there in front of the class and watch this woman or man teach about that, you know. So, hello, welcome to our show. We're excited to hear about your teaching.
Because actually, maybe starts to be right. I thought that she was a therapist, and then you said, no, I do education. Is that right, Ashley?
Educator.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so we labeled you correct. I want to say the story about how I met her. I was on TikTok, and she had, I don't know what the situation was, but it was somebody was really, really treating her badly, you know, making some snide comment or whatever it was. And usually when that happens, when I see someone like that, I sort of take it as a challenge to treat them the proper way. And, you know, sort of like, for example, like Barbara, my co-host, is a Playboy Playmate, and I've always treated her and her friends with respect. So when I saw
What do you mean? What happened?
It was
like
somewhat
in the What happened? You got socially bullied on TikTok?
Yeah.
How did you describe it, actually? Tell us what happened. Do you remember the story?
Happened? I talk or she talks and you're talking, and I mean, my ears, I cannot do that many people at once.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure if you were asking me directly. I can't remember exactly what video I posted about, but somebody just posted a really graphic comment about anal sex to me, and it was like it was really rude, and so sometimes I don't respond back. I can usually tell if it's like an internet troll, if it's just like somebody over out in another country, or, you know, even here, just like kind of, trying to start drama. But it was because they were a follower. Yeah. They were a follower of mine. And so I'm like, wait a second, I'm going to address this comment. And so I made the video just to kind of, you know, put my foot down and really, just kind of say like, hey, man, I'm going to provide you with these really awesome sex tips and a lot of sexual pleasure education. I think that's why like a sex ed teacher is more like high school, and I'm like adult like sex education. Yeah, that's kind of where. And so you would never offend me if you called me like a sex ed teacher.
No, but I mean,
like,
you know,
that.
Sorry to interrupt you, but it could offend some people, you know, and I didn't know you. I hadn't met you until 2 minutes before the show, so I just don't do that. Some people would, just to get, like, more hits. Oh, wow, that sounds racy, you know. But it didn't go through my mind. But you don't do that age. You're not teaching that age. And that's true. Sex ed, that's like a high school, junior high term. But you are a educator of sex, and you educate people. How do you do it? A healthy way or with medicine? What are you treating exactly or teaching?
Yeah. So I developed my coaching program, which kind of has two tracks. So the sexual pleasure coaching track is more for folks who are experiencing sexual issues. And I approach it using a lot of like psychological techniques and stuff. So I actually was in grad school on the track to become a sex therapist, but I changed the track because I just felt that education in and of itself is therapeutic. So really, I help coach these men and women on how to improve their nutrition, how to use journaling, how to seek out sex therapy. Because sometimes I've had people reach out to me and I'm like, listen, I am actually not qualified to help you. Like, for example, I had a husband reach out to me because him and his wife were struggling after she gave birth. And so I just told him, yeah, like, have you ever needed education around what types of sex therapy there are? Because there are different types of sex therapy that people should be aware of. And so, yeah, I told him, like, hey, I'll put, like, a little workshop together for you, and I could just, like, kind of give you, like, a little mini lecture on how to find the right therapist for you and stuff. So, yeah, there's
that's helpful.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's helpful because sometimes I don't even call the doctor because yesterday I even went through four, oh my gosh, this was horrible, four phone calls, and I said, Priscilla, see, this is why I don't call the doctor. I mean, I just call the clinic. I don't remember the doctor's name. Wasn't it a year ago? I mean, I'm never sick like that. Okay,
yeah.
And so then she thinks I'm being smart with her. So then I had to get sugary sweet. And then Priscilla, my 14-year-old daughter, was sitting next to me. And, you know, I'm trying to make the gynecologist. I couldn't say it just like now. And I usually can say it perfectly. And it just got stuck because I was saying it, and my daughter looked at me, and she's like, you know, this will have to be her first time going, so she's not. And she looked at me, and she knew I couldn't say it to this woman in front of her. And then we started giggling, you know, and laughing. And then the lady hung up on me. I mean, she thought that I was really being smart, but I really did not. I was not able to get it out, and I usually can.
Mm-hmm.
Gynecological. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. I told her, oh, never mind. Just let's call it a gyno. And that's when she hung up on me, and I was just being normal. I thought that was a normal word for it. But see, it's such a runaround. I would rather have a person, one person like yourself, to say, oh, Miss Moore, let me take care of, you need the mammogram. You need appointments really for two women. I mean, here are the best doctors. Here are the best, you know, clinics that are close by. Hey, and I've already made all your appointments. I would love it if I could come to somebody like you and say, oh, gosh, I don't want to go through. I don't want to tell my sex troubles five times and search for the right therapist or counselor. You know, that's private stuff, and that's going to drain me, and then nothing's going to help, and it's embarrassing. So you just take that equation out for them and direct them in, like, the right path, but you as well do a lot of therapy too?
Yeah, it's more like coaching. So I give them the opportunity to talk about stuff. It's more like really in the moment kind of processing, and so, like, really short-term goals rather than like trauma, like going through maybe like someone's like entire life history and really going through and developing like their like skills around their trauma. Like, I wouldn't really do that. It's more like short-term goals.
But,
like, okay.
I like that. It seems like a lot of just get me fixed. I mean, snap me out of it, right? Because if you really try hard, you sometimes can just snap yourself out of a funk, you know, a downer, and just say, what? What am I doing? You know, but a lot of people, they don't have that strength at all. I get it. And then they, even talking about it, that's just not enough. And they need some help with the medicine, correct?
Yeah.
So what kinds of problems are they coming to you with?
Yeah.
For example?
So surprisingly, when I started, I was expecting more men to have erectile dysfunction problems, but it was delayed gratification for men. That's like the quote unquote term, delayed gratification when a man can't have an orgasm. And so
Because if I don't know what that means, maybe a lot of other people don't. Is the man experiencing the delayed, or the woman, and who's benefiting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like a lot of men, sometimes they'll come to me because they can't have an orgasm, and I was actually really surprised that like more, I was getting more calls and texts about that problem versus erectile dysfunction. So I think what ends up happening is like the man is just, he's they will lose their erection, but it's like they're still able to get an erection, so they kind of lose it before they're able to have an orgasm. So
it's
really kind of working with them to. Oh, sorry, what?
Is it in their mind, do you think?
A lot of it, yeah, sometimes. There have been some men who, like, they want to avoid taking, like, Viagra as much as possible. And then I think
what?
Some men... Sorry, what?
Why? Why would somebody not want to? Mm-hmm. Are they afraid
yeah,
of side effects or embarrassed?
Yeah, both of them. Yep, like the side effects and as well as like the shame around it. They don't want their partner to know. Like
oh.
some men might have like a younger partner that maybe they don't want them to know. And it
oh.
does, like some people feel like it like takes away from the moment. If it's like, hey, I got to take a moment to take a break or something.
Oh, that's
and so,
weird.
Yeah.
I think that it's weird that they can't talk about it when they're doing such an intimate act together, and they can't even talk about everything. And that's sad because, you know, the sex is really supposed to be the cherry on top, I think. That makes it so much better for a woman. And no wonder these stories are coming out about, you know, the women with Hugh Hefner that had to share him. You know, of course, we're not really made that way to where we like that. How could we ever like that? I mean, some of them, they say, like, you know, the ones that are polygamists, they seem really happy. Okay, there are exceptions. But they deep down don't like it at all. Wow. So what if Hugh Hefner had this problem? It doesn't sound like he did twice a week for his, you know, a couple of generations there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a generation
yeah, I'd be curious.
In between,
yeah.
right, to rest up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wow. And these are things that we don't think about unless you run across, as a woman, run across a man with that problem. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Of course, a few, you can remember a few, but not like a chronic type of thing where, oh my gosh, it's frustrating. Look at me, I'm so hot and nothing's happening. Whoa. Then you feel like you have to put on a show and it's a lot of work then, I could imagine.
Yeah, yeah. One of my philosophies is that good sex is a workout and you need to work out to have good sex. So one thing that I coach people on is how, physical fitness and nutrition really are so important to our sexual health. And if you look at the ingredients in a lot of these, like pills, like the male enhancement pills, it's a lot of, for example, zinc or, like, vitamins and minerals that really help with circulation and all of that kind of stuff. So, like, I was doing research on for a book that I'm writing. It's called Sexual Fitness, and I'm going to write it all about, like, different workouts and all these different recipes that you can do to boost your sex life. And it's, like, kind of like an aphrodisiac kind of thing, because really, if you look at oysters, it's the zinc in the oysters that are really good for your sexual health, and that's like what's opening up like your blood vessels and your circulation and stuff, and aiding in all of those physical movements that you need to do to have good sex.
So it really is true. It really does work. I love oysters, but
yeah,
you are so right, and that's great advice for everybody to hear right now to work out, because you don't even want to even, you don't feel sexy. You don't feel like you want to if you feel like heavy and, you know, kind of sloshy. You have no energy, you know, you don't want it. Of course, when you start working out and everything's moving, you feel like alive and things are flowing correctly in there. All the hormones, things are working perfectly. So, you know, I feel kind of bad that I haven't gotten out like I normally do and walk on that beach, and it's only 5-minute drive, Ashley.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. You're. Are you in California?
Yes, in Huntington Beach.
Oh. Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. Yeah, I'm out in Philadelphia. Although the weather is getting warmer, so.
Oh
yeah. So I grew up as a Denver Broncos fan for some reason, even though I'm from Connecticut originally. So yeah.
Wow. Well, your state didn't really have, you know, that one team in your Connecticut that I know of, you know, the Connecticut, whatever. But, you know, so you didn't maybe get that connection. So you got a connection with the Denver Broncos. I'm a Seattle Seahawks. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure you hated us when we did beat you in the Super Bowl. But you guys are great. And I love that, too. What do you say to people if, okay, perfect example, segue into sports. Is it important for a woman to, like, care and watch the game with him? Or, you know, a lot of people don't. I'm totally into it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've even had boyfriends who didn't like watching sports. It didn't bother me. But I'm thinking... Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I mean, what is the problem? Why does he feel like he cannot keep an erection during this lovemaking with his hot chick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as people get older, I think like maybe they're not exercising as much, and then I've noticed that some men they get used to masturbating on their own, so they get used to their own grip and stuff. And I think that's also a reason why women struggle having orgasms with their partner, is that we, both genders, just get kind of used to their own masturbation methods. And especially for me, like sometimes when I'll masturbate, I'll try to like philosophize and try to think of ways to help my clients in the future. Like, okay, what language can I use to help educate and communicate about masturbation, especially to females and stuff. So sometimes I'll get totally distracted in my own head, and like I'll be working while I'm masturbating and stuff. It can be kind of frustrating, but I'm a professional, so I still get the job done.
Why do they do it and do it and do it? What do you say? Stop. Can they say something else besides that word if it bothers them? Hey, maybe they're like children and you can have them. A lady came on and showed us like what she does on a doll, right, Johnny?
Yes.
Maybe you have to revert to adults like this. They've never even learned the communication about sex. I mean, it is sad how, I mean, they act like it's a sin. It's just taboo, you know, do it behind closed doors. I mean, oh my gosh, I think America is really, really too uppity about it. You know, I mean, a nipple, like if it's showing through a blouse, I mean, you will get banned off of Facebook. I mean, I know the photographers go crazy with that, trying to post their beautiful work, you know, art pieces, really. And, I mean, what do you think? What are your stances? You're obviously able to freely speak about your sexual, what you do, you know. Do they come around and actually, are they able to talk to you like that?
But like, I really appreciate it when my clients are super open, and I really love to give them the space to say anything openly, as long as it's not anything that's going to put anybody in danger, or like a child or anything. Like one way that I knew that I wasn't going to be a sex therapist was that one of my professors was like, it makes me really uncomfortable when my clients kind of go into more of the details. So to set boundaries, I'll kind of like stop them from going into too many details and stuff. And I was like sitting there in class and I'm like, wow, like, am I making the right decision? Because like, if I have a client relationship, like I want them to give me the details, especially if it's around sexual pleasure. And And so, like, the more that I know about their experience.
Were you mortified that that was actually being said in a learning environment where you couldn't say, that's wrong? Because that's not, when you were telling me that, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's not good when the doctor cannot hear. Oh, my gosh, I can't. God, please, I can't hear the details. I mean, come on, if you can't tell them, who can you tell, right?
Yeah. I think from, like, his perspective, I think it was more – Like, sex therapy is more about like that internal processing, and that's why it's done by like like psychologists and people with like PhDs and so like one of the reasons why I stopped the track that I was on at Widener University was because like you needed to have a master's degree in psychology to do it as well. And I was getting my master's in social work as well so that I could become a licensed clinical social worker to become a therapist. That's like another path. So you could either get a psychology degree or become a licensed clinical social worker to practice therapy.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think it's just like, it's, I think there's just like different like rules and kind of like different philosophies, I think, around like the practice of your therapy when, if you choose like between like the tracks and stuff. And right. Even when I was in the social work track, I was like, wait, no, I'm more of a psychologist. Like this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And so once I kind of settled with like sex education and just knowing that I could provide like coaching versus therapy, then I was still kind of making an impact in this world. And then also, like, I just kind of want to advocate for sex education in general. Like, I'm hoping that I can get, like, into some politics eventually. Maybe, I don't know, it's kind of just, like, one pipe dream. Like, yeah. So, like, I have, like, a list of, like, politicians that I'm trying to get in touch with to be like, hey, can I, like, work for you? Like, let's get sex education, like, in more places. And, like, for example, one of the reasons why I got into sex education is because of Bill Clinton's old Surgeon General. She got fired because she said that we should teach kids about masturbation if we want to prevent like pregnancies and all of this stuff. Like, it's totally cool and appropriate to teach kids about masturbation. That's why she got fired. And so I kind of always remembered her in my past and like learning about her and kind of just wanting to be like, no, like that is true. Like, I was a kid and like,
exactly.
If I had a teacher, like, you know what I mean?
I want to say something about that. Because my father, you know, when that happened, and he heard about it, and then he said, well, it's safe sex, you know.
What?
I mean,
what? Oh,
but it's safe.
He was It's fine with it. Okay.
Right, he was
with
it because it's safe sex, is what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, and it is true, that's what it is. It's the way to have safe sex. And but it's like there's so many ways of turning it around and this sort of thing around and this and that, because like I was saying before the show, 9 times out of 10, when you talk about this stuff, Ashley, you're probably the bravest person in the room because you're putting yourself in a position to be kind of for people to start cracking jokes when in reality it's a serious thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent.
Yeah,
you know,
I get
know,
it.
There's
so nice
aspect of it.
Johnny protected you from that. What did you do, Johnny, to protect her?
Well, what I did was I said I felt like when somebody is treated that way, I you know, feel like that it takes it as sort of a challenge to treat them the right way so that they see the difference between me and them, if that makes any sense. It's sort of like I wanted her to see that, you know, and I was thinking, like, because I got to thinking when I saw that video, I was like, okay, how do people do that to her a lot? I mean, does she get sort of treated, I mean, badly a lot? Does that happen to her a lot? You know, I mean, it's not really fair. I mean, somebody has to say the things that she has to say. I mean, she might as well, you know, if she's brave enough to say it, she should be the one to say it. But she certainly should be made fun of for saying those things, if that makes sense. You understand what I'm saying?
Of course, she's just educating about something that is very much of a big part of our life, which is sex, and everybody doesn't want to talk about it. Well, I'm glad that you are talking about it and are here to explain it. I knew a lot of that. I don't know how some kids, they just know things. I don't know. I think they know things really early. So elementary school, I think they should put the sex ed in there. I mean, some girls are getting pregnant at 10 and 11 years old. What?
I have a funny story, and I know with sex there's a lot of funny stories, but my nephew, and it makes sense after I tell you this story, because it makes sense that he would think this. They educated him on how sex works and everything, and they sort of figured, okay, well, he's got it down. You know, he's got it down. He understands. But then what happened was that they would overhear him saying these things to other people. And then finally, they very politely took him aside, and they said, Isaac, you almost got it. Except for one thing, though. There's no peeing involved.
It was probably over the top, you know.
Yeah.
And, but that makes sense when you think about it, you know, that you know, I mean, it's like you hear about it, you think, oh, okay, mommy pees, daddy pees in mommy, and you know, but I thought that was rather funny. I didn't, what did you think, actually? How cute.
Yeah, I know, that's adorable. Yeah, and, like, I mean, when I was in grad school, we had to go through, like, a lot of processing, and, like, in the past, like, how did we learn about sex and stuff, and I used to think that my period was going to be blue based on all of those old, like, MaxiPad commercials and stuff where they pour the blue liquid and stuff, and my mom was like,
oh,
right. Blue? Like, what?
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah, and so that's why I don't like to make fun of anybody or laugh at them if they don't know anything, like, because we don't know what we don't know and stuff, and like, a lot of women don't know, like, where their clitoris is, and it's like, well, like, some people who are sexual are like, well, obviously, like, you just kind of felt around. It's like, well, no, sometimes, so maybe the first time they touched themselves, it hurt, and so they just kind of stopped doing it, or there is, like, a history of trauma, and so, like, you, yeah, there's just all sorts of ways for us to not get educated and then, but still engage in behaviors and then, yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, yes, and there's all kinds of scenarios that kids were made to feel like they did something even evil, such a sin, you know, and they were caught and they're humiliated. I mean, they just don't want to go near themselves really for probably 40 years after something like that. Oh, they're totally traumatized. How many people do you treat on a regular basis?
Oh, like how many clients do I have, like a week or something?
Yeah, or like, is it every day? That's a lot of, that is draining to hear all about that.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of have like self-care strategies and stuff. Right now I have 3 active clients and stuff. I am trying to do this full time. I was recently fired from my day job because I asked to go part time and they were not happy with that. So I'm definitely hoping that my business really takes off. Like, so yeah, I was only doing it part time, but no, yeah, I know. I'm hoping so. And just the fact that, yeah, like with Jonathan reaching out to me for this podcast, like allowing me to have like a platform, because TikTok really censors me a lot and I'm not able to really talk about the things that I want and stuff. And so that can definitely be really challenging.
I mean, what you described seemed like very intense. I mean, do they let nudity on? I didn't think they did let anything like swearing or anything on TikTok. I don't really do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they don't allow nudity or anything, but like they will allow, like the drama right now is a bunch of men are making jokes about like ways that they'll kill women, and now there's videos going around about all of the people who are like, I reported these videos and TikTok isn't taking them down because it's quote unquote considered comedy. But when I try to educate I know, it's ridiculous right now. Like, so that's like, that was like earlier today I was scrolling through and finding videos about that. And so it's very strenuous. And I feel like sometimes just like trying to go on TikTok to find ideas, I get like inundated with stuff that I don't want to see. And that can be just as mentally draining as like maybe talking to like a client and or trying to find a client who then ends up turning on me or something. Cause that's happened where it's not just internet trolls. It is actually people who I've worked with who
women,
you know, like, sorry, what?
Women or men have turned on
it
you?
It was the men. Yeah. I've only had a few
really?
Female clients. Yeah.
What do you mean by turned on you?
Yeah, so like recently I had someone sign up for sessions and then they confessed their attraction to me and they were like, they were in Nevada. And so one of the reasons why I feel comfortable, I think, being so open is because people are super distant and stuff. And I'm a little naive sometimes. Like obviously they can find me if they want to, but I do feel like the distance kind of protects me a little bit, but he was like, oh, I want to fly out. I want to see you. I want to start like dating you. I want to be poly with you. And I'm like, whoa, like, hold off. Like, no,
wow.
We need to talk about this. And then he had prepaid for one of his sessions and then canceled the session and then demanded his money back because, like, quote unquote, he said the vibe changed. And I was like, yeah, because I set some boundaries with you. And so that's really upsetting. And that's why I think I'm less afraid
back.
Of, like,
no.
I
hope you did not give it back to him because you earned every penny dealing with that. Okay. You can add up the hours of all the phone calls and all the weirdness, and he better watch out. I've gotten two PROs against people temporary. They were real, real stalkers, and it's scary. And you know what? I don't mess around. I don't talk to them. I know exactly how to treat stalkers after the first one because they want one word, and then they will go. It starts their whole thing all over again, and then you have 500 calls again that day. So, you know what? You don't need that. And you're starting this career. I can tell you're a go-getter. I mean, you're passionate about it. You've got the education. Hello. You seem very young. And, you know, the way you even speak, like, I can tell you listen to me. And you have to. You have to listen to the patient. You're good at it. You're very good at it. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
There's no reason, right?
When you told me that story about
when she told
the story about the guy that is a stalker, I really wanted to have her on because I thought, oh, that's terrible. I mean, you know, going through all that. So
but they really see something different. And sometimes your friends don't even believe you because it's so outlandish. You know, and they're thinking, well, what did you do? They don't get it. Stalkers don't care. They will make up something. They will try to ruin you at your place of business. So I really did see my very, very close friends during that time because they wouldn't even give him a second, you know, minute to listen to his gossip, you know, because they knew me. They just knew me so well. But when I saw the ones that, they were too tempted, they sat down at the bench outside the dance studio and just had their chit-chat. And somebody told me that while I was not in the dance studio, that was going on. And he had said, you know, don't you hate it when people say, she was saying some horrible things. And then they don't even tell you what they are. Well, come on. And then now I'm going into my dance studio wondering what they believe or not. You know, it ruined. It literally did ruin the area to go to. I moved away to Huntington Beach. It didn't matter, but there's a million. But you know what? The point is he did ruin my atmosphere that I worked in. And I will help anybody if they need to. I went through it with Johnny. Remember Johnny down here already?
Yes.
I had a stalker.
I remember that guy.
Then he started calling the co-host. Nobody calls my people at work. Started calling the other two ladies causing trouble, and they did turn on me, right? They loved it.
You're going to love this. What's so funny is that there have been times when what I always do is I never have Barbara's phone number public. I always have mine, you know, my phone number public. So what will happen is there have been a few times when she will put up this beautiful picture of her in a bathing suit, like a nice bikini of her laying down. And then
on my fan page, but not for the elderly.
This was an incident that happened. Okay, you had your picture taken, and it was of you, and I think you were your picture was up of you in a bathing suit or something. But the thing was that I didn't put up your phone number; I put up mine. So what happened was I started getting these text messages asking, "Are you the blonde?"
Oh God, I don't like this. I actually don't like to be talked about like that. Like. Dumped.
Sorry.
I don't like it. Sorry. I'm not in the mood for like dirty little men. I've heard enough about it lately. Well, hey, it triggered me. You know, when you're watching the A&E special and it says, these scenes may trigger you. It has. And I've been thinking about it nonstop. My career
29 years with a company that I absolutely adored and loved and was so grateful. I mean, this is really hurtful, some things, and it's just, it takes your mind somewhere else because that was your life. Okay, so it's consumed me, and I don't want to talk about another guy who's like all, you know, hey, he probably doesn't have any problems. He walks around with his, you know, erect penis rubbing it on people, and I don't want anything to do with it, and I can spot them out. I have no patience.
And I wish that. Does,
and I'm not going to get used to it. Are you? Are you? And I am I calling, am I saying, is it Ashley? Or are you just letting me call you Ashley? It is Ashley, right?
No, it's Ashley. Yeah, it is.
Oh, God. I was thinking, oh, no, I think maybe Alicia. Okay, good. But Ashley, you know, we don't want to get numb about just because it's so normal for women to be talked about like that. We came a long way. Playboy did change it from the girls in the 80s who, I mean, I guess it was a lot different. The 90s, it was different. They improved. I was lucky enough to have that. But still, hey, why don't they ask us about modeling and acting career? We pounded the pavement. We had other agents. Talk about meeting weirdos. Hello. I've ran into a few weirdos in my life. And I'm telling you, more often was just out in roaming around town by myself, Beverly Hills, L.A., with, you know, my girlfriends, my 20s, going all to the clubs where I saw the worst. But when I went up to the mansion, I felt like, oh, my gosh, safe from everything. I never saw drugs once there.
Yeah,
you know, so,
yes,
that's my story.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Did you see
overall,
how they're wanting them to come out. They're wanting, when are you going to tell, you know, when are you going to talk or something, the last line? And then, oh, Hugh Hefner's really a gay guy? Who cares? Great. He seemed really happy if that is true. But they're kind of making him look bad because, look, he was gay, really. That is so wrong, don't you think?
I actually haven't heard any of those rumors. The last I heard was, like, after
in
he passed
show.
Away, a lot of people. Oh, sorry, what?
It's in the last episode, 9. I watched it. It comes out every Monday, so I watched that, and I'm pretty sure that's the end of it. And these were things that the ladies were saying.
Okay.
I'm just repeating what I heard that, but about the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
tell me about what you were thinking. You were, like, had a thought about it.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask you about, like, so overall at the mansion, you had a positive experience and stuff?
Not overall. 100%.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my God. It was like my paradise. It was my getaway. I was so grateful to even have that place. And it was a family. And now I can't even say that. The family. I felt like Playboy was my family. I never, all those friends, they never touched me. They never asked me out. The only person who asked me out that I was uncomfortable with was right when I got there, this guy who was the son of a very famous guy who worked for Disney, all of the voices. I really don't want to just say the name right now, but, you know, one of those. And still so very old for me, even though he was his son. He was way too old for me, and I'm a brand-new playmate. And it's like I didn't like him, and I felt like, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. But it was Kimberly's friend, and I felt, geez, I don't want to mess up because I was working so much. And you'll hear a lot of the 90s playmates say, we were working that we didn't want to go around them. That's how it was. We didn't want it. We went the other way because we didn't want any waves. We just, because, you know, they would just, I guess, kick people off. Like, I know some playmates didn't even get one promotion, and I went to country after country after country, and I don't think they give you a second chance. You've got to do that one-time first impression real well, because there's a lot of gorgeous, beautiful women who would love that promotional trip to the Bahamas, or I went to
Tokyo, Taipei, England a couple times, France like 6 times. I mean, Santiago, Chile, do you think I ever would have gone to these places like that? But the way they treated us and so much security, each girl had their own security, Russian guard, you know, walking around. That they even stayed outside our door. That's not so much, you know, Playboy thing to do that. We didn't have that everywhere, but these are things that stood out. And I'm so appalled by these stories that happened where a girl, I guess, went on a job and the job wasn't real and something happened horrible. So none of that would ever have happened when I came along. Wow. So, hey, it is what it is. Coming out, it's out. How do you feel about it? I mean, hey, we don't want women to have slimy weirdos pawing on them, but we also don't want innocent men, you know, being accused every time they turn around and they forget even how to flirt, which Dale, our psychic, says we can't even flirt anymore, you know, so an older generation doesn't like it. It just seems like a big mess.
So
are you feeling this too? Seeing a lot of people are just so confused of what to believe.
Yeah, I think that I think people follow, I think the movies and the media kind of confuses people a lot, and then people think that like they do a lot of observational learning, so they assume that what they see in the movies and even pornography is real life, and so because they're not getting sex education from people directly, they turn to the movies, and then they're getting like the inaccurate information and stuff. And really what I want to do is create more of like a sex positive environment, especially around like kind of what you were saying, like you'll be allowed to flirt with people. It's just that like when you get rejected, you also have to understand that that the person that is rejecting you is a sexual being and you need to respect them and stuff. So like sexual positivity to me really means like allowing adult sexual expression, but not just openly everywhere. It's really creating an environment of respect and allowing people to communicate about their sexuality safely, but then also be able to reject advances and feel safe about that as well, and then have resilience if you are the person getting rejected.
Yes. Rejection could be a big one, I guess, especially if the woman had made him feel really small in the head too, you know, just, you know, you can't even get it up. God, what kind of man are you? And it just really crushed him, and he's having a hard time pulling out. What would you say, like, the first thing, and you realize, this guy, I could fix him in about a week, give me a couple of weeks. What's the first thing that you would tell him to do?
Let's see. Okay, so I'm fixing him, like, he needs to... what am I fixing? Just him having a sex education in general? For his rejection?
He can't get it up due to rejection, but really bad rejection.
Oh, I got you.
Verbal
abuse,
too.
Yeah. So really what one of the first things would be, let's start writing about it. Let's start getting you, I call them erotic journals. Basically, it's just a journal that you dedicate to your sex life. And then I would really kind of go more into like really changing that negative feeling. So we would do exercises around like sexual mantras or something. Like, for example, like there's one that I created, like my lost erection is not like the end all be all of my sexuality or something. Or I would kind of have them like kind of reframe their thinking around how they've been rejected. I don't want, like what you said with, like, the innocent men, like, I don't want the ones who aren't ever going to hurt a woman, like, with sexual assault or anything. Like, I want them to still be able to, like, communicate sex and not get, like, yelled at or something, like, and not get rejected and stuff. So, yeah, like, and then...
Oh, thank
and then,
you. for, you know, fixing the men out there, because I don't like it when, you know, you don't know what he's thinking, and it just turns into a, like, an uncomfortable, weird vibe. If he just would, you know, smell good as he just put his elbow on the bar, not too close to you, not too weird or suave, but just said, smiled and said hi. I mean, you've got to do it, because otherwise it's agony for the first hour or two.
And then one question that I get asked is, how do I get girls to date me? And so what I tell men is to reframe the question. It's like, what about me is attractive to women, or what can I do to make myself more attractive to women? And it's not necessarily just about physical appearance. It's really about, like, having hobbies or, like, a personality that really draws people in. Like, are you growing as a person? Are you involved in your community? Like, these are all attractive qualities that men can have that will make them more likely to have a partner. And it does seem like dating, it's all about, like, getting a partner. But no, let's just experience and be with our sexuality. And first, like, we need to kind of develop what we like before we can even, like, pursue a partner and all of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, we're not animals that just have to have it and just, in an animalistic, not even caring about the other person's satisfaction. Now, that is, to me, really ignorant and just a non-feeling person, which is such, hello, see you later. Not for me. I don't know. Who would like that? Anybody? I mean, really. Maybe God made this type of person for somebody.
Yeah, no, it's like, dating is just, like, so, it's so hard and stuff. It's, like, struggle.
What if,
like,
sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you go. Yeah, I was losing my train of thought anyway.
Okay, no, it's sometimes, it's just hard to, at the end of the day, you know, because we've worked hard and my brain gets tired. And I always go for my walk after this, but it really has been good talking to you about this today. Because I didn't know what we were going to talk about. And, you know, I'm not used to talking about this like this. But you make me just feel so normal. Being able to.
Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't feel like, oh, my God, Johnny, why don't you ask that question at all? You're very easy to talk to. So I have one last question about what if. And that is, what if there is one of the partners, but usually it's a woman, and she has decided not to have sex until she's married, and she's very firm about it. But he might not even want to get married for a couple of years. Have you had that scenario?
Not yet, but I'm actually trying to get more clients who are waiting for marriage and stuff, partly because I don't discriminate against any people's values or beliefs. Like, if a Mormon couple wants to get sex education from me, that would be awesome. I love everybody. Like, especially when it's all about, like, different values and different behaviors. Like, I would love to help, like, a woman who's saving herself for marriage, or even just two people who are saving themselves for marriage, and maybe they want advice on how to still be intimate. Like, there's a lot of ways that we can be sexual without having intercourse.
It's becoming a big thing. In Hollywood, it's a big thing. Did you see the whole special that Gwyneth Paltrow did?
Not yet, only because sometimes I get a little jealous because I want to be on that stuff.
You do?
I will eventually.
I was just thinking this would be perfect for you, this kind of thing. And well, you're going to just have to watch this one, though, because I know what you mean, though. It's like you just are so focused on your own thing, but you always get a little something that made a difference.
Yeah.
But I loved how she had it lit, though. I love the very light. You'll see the white and the baby pink colors. So the atmosphere she did, this talking around, like the round circle thing, is so white and creepy. So you feel clean. And they did some interesting things. She got some flack for it, but it's what she wanted to do. And she was very passionate about it, which is cool.
Yeah.
She had teenagers. And then there was a couple of guys I saw in a
podcast recently, Steve-O's podcast, and this actor was saying that he always would just not, he would not climax on purpose and just hold it there, and sometimes just never would and do that on purpose for months.
Did they say anything about, like, the term edging in the podcast?
Yeah.
What he was doing?
Well,
I knew
what it was. And the guy goes, yeah, it's called edging. Even the guy who does it didn't even know it was called edging.
Yeah.
I like that podcast.
Yeah. I'll have to try to get on Steve-O's podcast. That'll be my next stop.
You will like that one, too.
Yeah,
I think
I know. I definitely
MTV. I mean, not MTV, YouTube, or I watch Netflix. So one of those, or Hulu.
I definitely want to watch the Gwyneth Paltrow special. It's definitely been on my list. I just sometimes I get jealous seeing like people have like I'm still like in like my career is still a baby, and I'm like, oh man, their careers are like full, like grown, like flowers, and I'm like, oh man, all right, I'll get there eventually. But I'm like baby steps.
But you, I knew it when I mentioned her. I felt it. I knew that you wanted to be on there. I mean, why wouldn't you? You're doing the radio show. You're okay with the press. I mean, it is something that everybody in the business world uses today. Or you are really old-fashioned. Okay. And you're doing it. Johnny found you. You're interesting. You're cool. You're nice. Can you tell everybody where to find you, to book you?
Yeah. So my website is emeraldsexualhealth.com. And then on TikTok, I am, so it's like the at symbol @SH_emerald. And then, if you go to my website, there's like the links. I have like just like on my website, and then it'll have all of my links to like all of my social media and stuff.
Okay.
So, that website again is emeraldsexualhealth.com.
Okay, say it one more time without me talking.
I'm sorry. There's probably a time delay, too. It's emeraldsexualhealth.com.
Emerald that's like the Emerald City where I'm from, Seattle. But you're not from there, are you?
No, emeralds are my birthstone, and I just love, like, the color green, and I think, like, I love, like, the whole, like, idea of, like, an emerald city and stuff.
Wait, you're born in
God.
May? You're born in May?
Yeah.
May
28th. What's your birthday? May 28th?
May 21st. May 21st.
21st?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm a 21st in August, and then Dale, our psychic, she is the 21st of March. And I just think it's cute when you find all these 21s in a couple days in a row, that pop up when
Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway, we have all kinds of topics and people coming on to teach us. I mean, I feel very grateful that you came on and gave us your time. And everybody, I want them to all go to your website. You'll find where to follow her because I'm going to do that too. Because you've been on our show, Dreams, Your Hopes and Your Dreams, because maybe down the road I'll see an opportunity and I'll remember, oh, my gosh, she would be perfect for it. She would appreciate
it. It's on record. We've recorded.
Change your life.
We have it on record.
What?
Okay.
Well, you can look back.
Oh, I know. That's so awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait.
Hey, Ashley. Ashley, this is so weird. This is probably going to happen to you. Surreal moments. I used to watch Married with Children with my brother and laugh our butts off. We were kids. I grew up, I was 25 years old, and I was on the stage doing two live shows of Married with Children. And
oh my God,
I'm like, is this really real? Because all the characters were still the same actors, right? And it was just surreal, okay? That was one. And then I used to watch Rick Springfield when he did that soap opera. I think it was General Hospital. And I just remember that guy when he ate spaghetti. Oh, my God. He looked so sexy. And his lips were perfect. And they're what I call salad dressing kisses. It's like got the oil and vinegar, you're fresh, without the lettuce in your teeth. Right? But I just, okay,
I was only in high school. And then I'm like, whoa, I will never get that out of my mind. Then I get this, I'm 27 or something, I get this part on, I forgot what his little beach show was called. And I was High Tide. I was on High Tide with him, acting with him. And I don't even tell these people that, you know, when I see them, I don't tell them the little story. They probably would have liked to have heard it, though.
that you had a crush on him or something, yeah.
Just that I was a kid, and then now I'm on the set. I mean, how weird is that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the crush part, yeah, that would have been too weird.
Yeah.
And we were just put on the scene, and it was so... But, I mean, all of the ones, you know, like Kurt Russell, I didn't work with him, but he brought his cool biplane to the shoots when we were shooting Airplane Calendar or something. And he did try to flirt with me, but I was so shy. He asked me if I had a cigarette, and I did not smoke. So I said no, and I kind of stood there. Well, if there's no cigarette around, kind of like, it would have been, like, better if I did have a cigarette. So he stood there, and we could have talked. So that's why people really use those. It's a social tool, really. And it's not good, it gives you a minute to mingle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But he used to be my favorite little boy star on Disney. And then here he is, and he's gorgeous man right in front of me. I mean, this has happened so many times. So I wish this for you, that you have many, many surreal moments till the day you die. So keep on dreaming big, because that is manifestation. And we know a lot about that here at Life, Laughter, Happiness, don't we, Johnny?
Yes, we do.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Hey. I really appreciate all the love and the positive affirmations.
Thank you for being warm,
Ashley. You are – sorry, Johnny, to interrupt you, but you are found at – what was it? Emerald – it's your website.
Yep, emeraldsexualhealth.com.
Okay. And we will put the link, too, on the show description and update that there for you. We thank you so much for your time and being open with us. You probably never know if you say something how people are going to react, but, we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot. You know, I have.
Yeah.
Right, Johnny? Mm-hmm. We hope that Johnny hasn't seen too much. Okay, well, everybody, good night, listeners. Thank you. You can find this tomorrow on our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook group and page. And don't forget to visit Ashley, this wonderful entrepreneurial woman in front of you that's great, educated, and wants a great career. If you're out there, and I'll see you on LinkedIn, too. I just got on there. I love LinkedIn. You only talk to, like, the top professionals that you can see all of their education and their credentials. You know exactly who you're dealing with before you press accept, okay? Try LinkedIn. I love it. And with that, I would like to say good night.
Good night.
Good night, Ashley.
Good night. Bye. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.